I kind of feel like at this point, if there is a God, he just kind of likes to play games. I don't know if he's actually my homie or not.
Hey there, my name is Sean, and this is Suicide Noted. On this podcast, I talk with suicide attempt survivors so that we can hear their stories. Every year around the world, millions of people try to take their own lives, and we almost never talk about it. We certainly don't talk about it enough. And when we do talk about it, many of us, including me, we're not very good at it. So one of my goals with this podcast is to have more conversations and hopefully better conversations with attempt survivors. Why? Well, in large part to help more people in more places feel a little less shitty and a little less alone. And if you have been a part of that, however that might be or look, I really appreciate it. As you probably know, you can check the show notes to learn more about the podcast, including our membership. And a giant thanks to Helena. I hope I'm saying your name correct, Helena, maybe Helena, for becoming a member, a lifetime member. So really, very much appreciated. Thanks. Now, if you are a suicide attempt survivor and you'd like to talk, please reach out. Hello@suicidenoted.com on Facebook or Twitter /X @suicidenoted. And by all means, please reach out even if you don't want to be a guest. If you want to share a thought, a comment, or you have a question, I would love to hear from you. And now finally, we're talking about suicide on this podcast. We don't hold back. So please take that into account before you listen or as you listen. But I do hope you listen because there is so much to learn. Today, I am talking with Josiah. Josiah lives in Utah and he is a suicide attempt survivor. Hello, sir. Am I saying Josiah?
Yes, that's right.
In Utah. What is happening in Utah?
Salt Lake counties. That's where all the shit is. That's where I go. I like concerts. I like to go to metal concerts, and that's where all the metal shows are.
Got a favorite band?
Linkin Park's probably my favorite band, and The Birthday Massacre.
And your shirt, is that a band also?
Yeah, this is Suicide Silence. They're really good. If you like deathcore, it's not for everybody.
Good lyrics?
They talk a lot about dying.
Okay. And why are you in a car?
I don't want anybody to disturb me. I live with my parents, but they probably wouldn't bug me, but they might. They're very nosy, so they might eavesdrop. And there's a lot of shit that they don't know, and I don't want them to know. So I've tried to talk to them in the past, and it hasn't been well received. Not well received from my family. Some of them have been supportive at times, but on a general basis, I don't really have anybody to talk to. Yeah, I used to have a good friend of mine that I was friends with for like 6 years, and he was very depressed. Listening to this podcast, I feel like he was like undiagnosed for the most part. He got some medication at one point, but I think it was just for his anxiety, and I think he needed some for his depression, because I think he was either borderline or even somewhat schizophrenic, maybe, because he heard voices and stuff.
Did he die?
No, he's alive. We just parted in separate ways. We moved in together. We started fighting all the time over little things. We would talk to each other about our depression, but we understood each other so well that it just got to the point where it was kind of pointless. Like there wasn't, yeah. We couldn't really help each other. And he was going through a hard time. I was going through a really hard time. And yeah, then this crazy chick from BYU got mixed up in the deal. And yeah, long story short.
We are just getting started, and I think we might already have a memoir title. Might not have much to do with you, but it's good.
Well, it did kind of have a little bit to do with me, because like he had like gone and slept with her, and then decided he didn't like her and decided to like pawn her off on me, and I had no idea, and then I found out, and yeah, it was a whole big deal. She played the victim and said that, you know, she had been used and whatever, and she said that we should go pull a prank on him. And so she took some of my condoms and went and put them on his bed. He was not happy about that. So that caused a big thing. I had to move out back to my parents' house for a while. And then we kind of found out that, you know, she had taken advantage of both of us and stuff. And
she might be a listener of the podcast. You never know.
She did say that she did talk about going to the mental hospital here, and she didn't have anything good to say about it, so it's a possibility.
It's possible, unlikely, but possible. In any case, I appreciate you being here. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Because I feel like I have nobody to talk to, and I feel like I've listened to like pretty much every episode of the podcast, and I was just like, I think this guy would actually listen to what I have to say.
He's
That'd be
gonna
the
try.
first.
He's gonna do his best.
I'm kind of like, I'm here because I know my family would be disappointed if I went, but at the same time, it's like it just gets so heavy sometimes that I don't feel like I can live for other people. And I feel like if they really cared for me, they wouldn't want me to just live here and suffer just so that they can be in a better mood since I'm still here. Like, even though they don't pay that much attention to me. But if I was gone, they would be sad, and it would interfere with their regular flow of life. And sometimes I just like most of the time I just don't want to be here.
Is today one of those days?
Today's not the worst day. I took the day off. I took tomorrow off as well, so I've got some time. I got a concert this weekend to go to, so I'm kind of riding the end of my high here. But once I hit my next low, it's my lows are really low, and that could be the end. You never know.
What kind of work do you do?
I work in a warehouse that distributes parts for Napa. I pretty much usually stock the shelves. Yeah, it's hell. My management has been changed around a few times, and they just don't seem to give a damn about us. And we're like one of the best performing plants in the world.
Yeah, but you said it was hell, so I imagine is this well, I guess you got to make money, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, I'm looking for another job, and everybody just tells me, "I'll stick with that job. You got a good job." And it's like, yeah, but I want to blow my brains out every day instead of go to work. So I don't know if that's a good job or not.
Right, sure. And I am going to guess you are what, mid-20s?
Yeah, I'll be 25 this year. I'm 24 right now.
You had said you've been suffering for a while. Do you remember when the suffering began?
I was thinking about it, and I think the first time that I like. Probably started thinking about suicide. I was probably like 7 or 8 in the context of just, like we had known, like we had heard of people that like my parents knew that had died, or like occasionally the topic would be brung up. And usually in that regard, back then, the LDS Church has been a little bit more open about it now, but back then, they would basically like the worst sin that you can do is murder. And killing yourself is murder, so it's basically the worst sin that there is, right?
Just to clarify, the LDS Church, the followers of that church are or were known as Mormons, and that's how you grew up. We talked about that before I hit record, and I'm sure it's a part of this story, no doubt. And I wonder how does that church then or now handle mental health related things?
They're more open about mental health now. They, instead of dying and saying, oh, that you'll go to hell, or that it's a sin per se or whatever, now they kind of basically just say it's between you and God, whether you believe in God or not, it's between you and God. But they do say that there's, it won't be better on the other side. It'll make things harder. The plan of salvation is tricky for me. I kind of feel like at this point, if there is a God, he just kind of likes to play games. Yeah, I don't know if he's actually my homie or not.
God as homie, I like that. So when you were growing up as a young kid and up until what, 18, you had said, you were living a standard or typical LDS life?
Yes, go to church every Sunday, try to, keep the commandments. I was in with the scouts. I got my Eagle Scout award. I got my Duty to God award. I was planning on going on a mission for quite a while.
You didn't get to go?
No, I wasn't able to go because yeah, long story short, I'm a criminal, so I can't go on a mission.
Okay, Josiah, for a guy like me, when you say you're a criminal, I want to know a little more. What's the 30-second version?
The most I'll share is that I was a juvenile. I was 14. It was a big mistake that I don't really like to talk about, but I don't know. I feel like I've changed. It's been almost 10 years, and I don't know. I don't know if I really wanted to go or not. I would, some of the rules there, like you can only listen to like certain music There's a lot of rules. You have to stay with your companion all the time. I remember one guy talked about it on the podcast that he went on a mission and it was like hell for him. So yeah, it's like, it's good for some people. A lot of people, you know, they go on a mission, they come back, they get married, but you know, sometimes they don't, they decide to leave the church. I have a
Well,
couple
did you?
siblings that went on a mission that they're okay. They're still active in the church. They're married in the temple, all that stuff. It works for them.
What's the church's stance on forgiveness?
Yeah, well, in
So,
the church, they believe that you can be forgiven from just pretty much about everything. The only thing you can't be forgiven of is if you like deny the Holy Spirit, but you would have to be like, I guess, on like the prophet's level. Like you would have to like actually like, I guess, see God or like have some kind of divine like vision and then deny that or whatever, and that would, but so
So,
basically they say on a probably a normal basis that probably wouldn't be an issue.
yeah, so for a guy like you, family was involved in the church, you were involved in the church, you did a stupid thing when you were 14. That's forgivable, no?
Yeah, it's more of like a legal issue. I didn't have like a lawyer. They kind of got me to admit to some stuff that I didn't really do, and so I got some pretty hefty charges. I got like a second degree felony and two class A misdemeanors as a 14-year-old, yeah.
God bless America.
And my public defender that I got didn't do anything. He didn't communicate with us at all. He kind of just let me be thrown underneath the bus. My parents didn't know what to do. Like my parents are, I wouldn't say ignorant, but they're like, they're old and they don't keep track of anything like current. They haven't had to deal with anything like that. They don't like doctors. They haven't really had to deal with that much legal issues.
So, 7, 8 years old, you feel how you felt. When do the ideations really start for you?
I don't kind of remember exactly when I started feeling like I didn't belong, but I know at like the age of 7 or 8, it was kind of just a curiosity thing.
Yeah.
I was kind of always like fascinated like with death because in the LDS church they believe that, you know, there's life after and you'll go to one of three kingdoms or hell, depending on how, you know, much you've follow the commandments or whatever. I guess like they use the acronym Sea Turtle, which is like there's a celestial kingdom, which is the highest kingdom of glory, and the telestial kingdom is the lowest, and then the terrestrial is the middle ground, and then hell is outer darkness. So if you basically, you know, don't do anything bad enough to end up in hell, but you don't really try to go to exaltation, then you could end up in like the Telestial kingdom, which is supposed to be like 100 times better than Earth. And if you're like a good person and you're like trying to like keep the commandments, but maybe you don't know all the doctrine of the LDS church, then you go to the terrestrial kingdom. And then if you get, you know, you get married in the temple and you do all that good stuff and everything, you go to the celestial kingdom, which is the highest degree. And there
So
you're
wait.
supposed to be able to meet like God and Jesus. If you go into the other kingdoms, you can like only be visited, I guess, by people. And then you'll get to be with your family for eternity and all that.
So
So my parents got married in the temple and got us all sealed to them. So we're supposed to be like sealed to them for eternity. And if we do, if we live righteously, then in the next life we'll get to like be with each other, I guess. Well, then there's the next level that you're supposed to be able to then, you know, like continue on and become a god yourself and maybe potentially create worlds of your own. And
where do you think your parents are going?
so my mom has always been really into it. So she believed that she saw me in a vision like 10 years before that I was born, and she waited for me. I have 8 siblings. I'm the youngest of 9 kids. She wanted 10 kids, but she didn't make it for whatever reason. And I kind of wish she would have stopped at 8, but here I am. And but she says that she's when my brother was born, that's 10 and a half years older than me. She said that she saw me in a vision and that she was waiting for me and that like I was special and I was meant to, you know, be here and do something. And
No pressure.
yeah, I don't know. I guess there's times I felt special, but as I kind of got older, I kind of felt more and more insignificant. Like My siblings are all like a lot older than I am. I was born when my oldest brother was on his mission, and so she's like 20 and a half years older than me. But the closest sibling to me is 4.5 years older than me. So I was kind of like, I grew up with my two sisters, but like I was kind of always by myself. I really had a hard time making friends, connecting with people. All my friends, weren't really friends, and I've always been a pretty loyal person. All my friends kind of just leave me behind, so I'm kind of always the one I feel like that's left out.
So this is happening as a kid.
Yeah, I was kind of on cloud nine though at the same time when I was a kid. I was a very hyperactive kid and I was homeschooled, but my mom never really like she didn't believe in the public school system, but she didn't have enough money to send us to a private school. But she didn't have the patience to teach me because I was very hyperactive and she said that I had like ADHD.
How did she know that you had ADD or ADHD?
Well, she never got me diagnosed, but according to her research and what other people told her that she had ADHD, that I have ADHD. But any case, she was not equipped as a parent to like she didn't have the knowledge. Like she went to school and she wanted to be an elementary school teacher at one point, but she decided that she didn't. But she had a hard time teaching my older brother like math and stuff. And then by the time it got down to me 20 years later, she wasn't really equipped to deal with that. Of course, what kid wants to do school? So I didn't want to do school and I'm home, like I want to go outside. I want to, watch TV, whatever. And eventually I just got to the point where she just kind of gave up and let me do whatever. So I never really get very, I have maybe like an eighth grade education. She signed a paper every year saying that like I got schooling and all that stuff. So she should technically be in jail. Oh, she should definitely be in jail, especially that and the physical abuse. She's definitely be in jail.
What about your dad?
Yes, my dad, he actually works for the church. He would go around and inspect the buildings and he was kind of like a maintenance guy. He did that for like a long time, but he's a very kind of quiet, timid guy. He's a funny guy. He was very much removed. He was a workaholic. He would come home and he would kind of be, absent. He was never really there. And so my mom was, she was the one that raised us all and did the disciplining. And she was, definitely the dominant one in the relationship. She would sometimes hit me. She'd throw shoes at me. She would threaten to take me to the police station and have me go to some other family. She could be very cruel.
You think she was dealing with some kind of mental illness or health condition?
Yes, very much so. I think she definitely, I think, has some bipolar or maybe borderline, something like that. My grandfather, he served in Korea. He worked for the telephone company. He had seven kids. But my mom doesn't talk too much about it, but he could definitely be abusive. And my mom always had very low self-esteem. She still does have very low self-esteem. My mom's great now. She lets me live with her. She makes me food and does my laundry and shit. So like said, they were very supportive through my being on probation and but there was that there's definitely some ways that they raised me that I am not okay with.
Did you want to go to school?
Oh yeah.
We'll
And
get
I
to
feel
that.
like I didn't get like a social Like I feel like, yeah, I didn't get the social skills that I could have gotten. I always wanted to go to school, and I'd tell her that I wanted to go to school. Like my friends would always ask me, "When are you coming to school?" Like, but she wouldn't send me there. She let my brothers go like half day. Then they got in with, what she would consider bad friends and did what she would consider bad things. And so because of
Right.
that, she wasn't really willing to send me there.
How many suicide attempts do you have?
In the classification, like you said, like anything that I would consider a suicide attempt, you'll run with. Probably four. There's a couple near attempts and a couple attempt attempts.
When was the first one?
The first probably near attempt, I was like, I think 10 or 11, and I had been sent to my room for some reason. I don't really remember, but I had remembered that, my mom had said some things to me. She would often call me stupid, worthless. Sometimes she would tell me that nobody loved me. And then she would come around at later and say like the opposite. So it was always very hard to kind of read what the fuck she was trying to do. But anyway, I was just feeling like garbage. And I had remembered that, like I had seen like a TV show or something where somebody had like tried to like, they'd like killed somebody with a pillow, like suffocated them with a pillow. So I tried to suffocate myself with my pillow, but obviously, I was 10, didn't really go very well. I wanted to die. I just kind of felt like I don't belong in this world. I need to go,
And so now, 14, 15 years later, you felt that way.
Yeah, I feel like I thought about it quite a bit, and I feel like, yeah, that was the first time I really wanted to like go. I wanted to die.
And how old were you for attempt or near attempt number two?
I remember when I was on probation, I got court ordered a therapist. She's still my therapist, but I've kind of stopped going to see her as of now. I had told her, because I was already feeling like miserable and like shit, and I wasn't allowed to like see any of my friends, or I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't be out of line of sight, anything like that. And it was tough. And I had told her that I wanted to die. And she'd kind of asked me how I wanted to die. And I told her I was going to go get, one of my dad's guns in the closet, and I was going to end it, And so then she called my parents in and put me on suicide watch. She luckily didn't send me to the hospital. I like realize now from listening to my podcast that I could have been fucking sent away to like a hospital, but fortunately I haven't ever been. Well, that's kind of the point where I'm at now. It's like it kind of feels like she's not really listening to me. And then every other time she's recommending me either medication or wanting to send me to a hospital, and I don't want to do either of those. So yeah, I had an appointment yesterday and I canceled it, and I don't plan on making another one in the near future. So
Is that connected at all to this conversation, the timing of it?
somewhat. I mean, she asked me, she was one of the few people I told about the podcast, asked if I, if she could listen to it. And I was kind of like, I mean, it's free for anybody to listen to, but not really, no.
But she's a therapist. She might get curious. You never know.
Ah, she says she cares about me, but I don't, but she never, like, she's not like one of those therapists that, like, is actually good that will like call you like on her like personal time and like see how you're doing and stuff like that.
So you never picked up your dad's gun?
No, I didn't know where they were.
What stopped you from doing what you were thinking about at 14?
I don't know, to be honest. I was fully determined, but I don't know, my parents kind of like in a way ridiculed me. They were kind of like, "Oh, you even know where the guns are? Like, could you even do that?" And I guess, I don't know, it probably just kind of got planted into my mind that, I couldn't do it, that that was in the way because I didn't know where they were. Yeah, I don't know. I can be simple-minded like that sometimes.
So your therapist doesn't send you to a hospital. Your parents know about this. Well, how do your parents feel about it? I mean, they didn't know when you were 10 about the pillow, right?
No, nobody knows about that, I don't think, except for maybe my therapist, but I don't think so.
But now they do.
I guess, yeah, if they listen, I don't think anybody's going to listen to this, to be honest, but yeah.
No. At 14, your therapist called your parents in.
I can't remember what their exact reaction was. I think they were like somewhat concerned, but at the same time, they were kind of just like, why would you, like my dad especially was kind of like, why would you want to do that? Like, I don't understand. And my mom would kind of go to the level of like, oh, I know how you feel type of thing. But I know how you feel is kind of like a cop out. You really don't. Like, I wouldn't say that I know how you feel because, like, I really don't have any idea. Like, everybody's different. And that was kind of the biggest issue, like, I felt like with my parents is like everybody's different. And they tried to raise nine kids the exact same way. And that just doesn't work.
So that gun incident was about 10 years ago. What happens after?
My first real attempt was like, between April to July of like 2021, I was going through a hard time. My roommate was doing his own thing. We didn't really hang out, and he wasn't really like listening to me. And he like it was just kind of like we would have the same conversation all the time. Like, oh yeah, like we understood each other, but we didn't really know what to say type of thing. And I think he had a girlfriend at the time. I had just broken up with my girlfriend. I want to say before I had One of my good friends growing up, I kind of found out he wasn't really a friend. I was really sad, and then I had gone through my breakup, and I kind of felt like an asshole through that whole situation. I drove down to my mom's house and I asked her if she wanted to go for like a ride. I just told her, I said, hey, I was like, pretty soon, like, I just want you to know that, like, I'm peacing out. I'm going.
Why did you tell your mom that?
I don't know, because I knew that she wouldn't really listen to me, which she didn't really. And, but I just kind of wanted her to know. I just kind of felt like, well, no one's listening to me. No one listens to me. And I just want there to be some kind of record knowing that, like, I explained how I felt before I decided to go. Anyway, she went through the whole thing, like, oh, I've been in your shoes type situation, da 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 da. And then, like, once that wasn't really doing anything, she kind of told me, like, oh, it doesn't, like, she tried to tell me that, like, other people's, like, opinion didn't really matter of me and stuff. And, like, she was basically expressing that, like, she didn't want to find me. She didn't want to find me. She's like, I couldn't, like, bear going in and seeing you in a big mess. Like, I couldn't do that.
Were you planning on using a gun again?
I don't know. I've always wanted to use a gun, but I can't get a gun.
Right,
And I
you
don't
don't.
want to use someone else's gun because I don't want to incriminate somebody else. I don't know. And I like guns. I like Second Amendment rights. I'm like conservative in that way. And I feel like if I shoot myself with a gun, then, that's going to just allow, just gonna contribute to like more evidence for them to try to take guns away from people, and I don't like that.
So, how did you try in that attempt?
I tried the same way, like one of the three ways everybody else tried on this podcast
You are a man of various methods, I will say that.
with pills. It was just like melatonin, which sounds really stupid, but let me explain. Well, I worked for this place for a little while that did like. They assembled like medical cables, and there was our supervisor there. He had to go one day abruptly because his son had gotten into the melatonin gummies and gotten into a coma. So he had to go. I think his son did make it, but it was a close call. Like he almost went to sleep and never woke up. So that's what I wanted to do. I was like, I just want to fucking go to sleep and never wake up. I always wanted to die in my sleep. That was kind of like. I think both my grandpa and grandma died in their sleep. The fucked up thing too is my mom also kind of reassured me or whatever. She was like, I hear the easiest way to go is with pills, like with some kind of. And I was just like, oh fuck! Now my mom is basically giving me the okay to fucking off myself here. So I was like, I'm sure that wasn't what she was trying to do, but that kind of it came across that way. Yeah, as long as she didn't have to find me.
So what happened?
So one day I had had a particular shit day at work and I came home and I was just like, fuck it. I researched, I was like they, I researched like, this is the amount of melatonin you can take. And I was like, okay, this might work. I guess maybe in the back of my mind, I kind of knew it didn't work, but I wanted to fucking go. So I was like, that was the only thing I had in the house. So I was like, fuck it. So I took those. And I tried to go to sleep after like, a few hours of really shitty sleep. I woke up, felt like absolute shit. Yeah, felt like throwing up, but I didn't throw up. Yeah, I was having stomach issues and but I just kind of yeah, went to bed, went to work the next day, told a couple of my coworkers, they freaked out on me. The one dude tried to give me a speech that, he had tried to kill himself once and it was a misfire. The gun didn't go off and whatever. And in my mind, I was just like, why didn't you fucking try again?
Do you by chance remember any of the content of that motivational speech by your coworker?
He had said that, that he, was feeling really down in a place and that the misfire happened and that he was glad that he didn't do it and the whole thing that it gets better, all that bullshit. And then that his aunt had died and it really affected his uncle and all
Right.
this stuff. I guess maybe he was pouring his heart out, but to me, I honestly really didn't give a shit because I was like, I don't fucking want to be here. I wish I never woke up and this is bullshit and you're not listening to a fucking thing I'm saying. So fuck you.
Yeah, he gave the speech that is That is probably common. It's what people deal with in the mental health space, wherever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Desire. Has it gotten better?
No.
And look, of course it gets better for some people. And I know I might be attracting attempt survivors who've had not so good experiences, who are more likely to have heard that kind of thing, but it's a problem.
Yeah, things have changed. I'm not with my toxic roommate anymore. That's a plus. I'm still at the same job, though. I've gone to a lot of metal shows that I'm kind of glad I went to. But, you know, I just don't want to die any less. I actually want to die more.
Right. So you had gone to therapy. You stopped. And I know you don't take meds. Did you ever get a diagnosis you agree with?
She was hinting like bipolar, and I did have a couple random like manic episodes, and so she was thinking maybe something involving that, but she's just a therapist. She wasn't a psychiatrist, so she couldn't really give me a diagnosis. She was always trying to go get me diagnosed, but I never went to go get
diagnosis, no med.
No, if I had to live on medication, that would just honestly make me want to die more, and I would just save my medication up and fucking...
I'm always wondering how people cope, right? Whether it's healthy stuff, quote unquote, or not so healthy stuff. What, if anything, helps you or helped you feel at least a little better?
Running used to help me. I ran 6 marathons, I've done St. George 7 times, but I've only finished it 6 times. I passed out one time. Yeah, I passed out like 2 blocks before the finish line. It would have been my fastest time. That was kind of the killer for me.
What's your best time?
3:29.02.
Are you fucking serious?
My dad's best time's 2:31.
Damn it. All right, so running, the original question is about how do you cope?
Yeah, running and music. Music is everything to me. That's the only thing I care about anymore. Going to a metal show. I do like to play video games, so I guess that's kind of a cope too. But usually I drown myself in a game or music. I want to try to produce some music before I go, get some of my music out to the world. Maybe it'll help somebody, maybe it won't, but...
So you don't drink or drug or cut or anything else?
I drink. Yeah, I didn't start drinking until I was like 22, but I drink a little bit. Yeah, I tried to like, I went like 6 months without drinking. I'm not like addicted by any means. If I wanted to give it up, I could give it up. That's the one thing I feel like I kind of inherited from my dad's. My dad used to drink, and then one day he decided that he didn't want to anymore, and he's been sober for like 40 something years. So
we haven't gotten to the fourth attempt.
Yeah, so the fourth attempt was on the 29th of January of this year. I had reached out to the podcast, obviously, because I was really fucking depressed and wanted to kind of say this. I guess is kind of my final words or my suicide note per se, I guess, because I don't know if I'll leave a note, but one last time to kind of say, shoot the shit and say what I wanted to say.
So at that point, 29th of January, you had actually already been listening to the podcast, right?
Yeah, I'd already sent in, I'd already emailed you. Yeah, I think you had responded with the itinerary. Yeah, I started listening to the podcast in, I think, 21 or 22.
So what happened on the 29th, which is only a few weeks ago? Am I right?
Yeah. I was just feeling like shit that day. Went and got a bunch of alcohol, got really drunk, and I got my knife, and I tried to cut my big vein right here in the middle of between my elbow and my forearm. I was like, surely that's like a big enough vein that if I cut that, then it would go, you know? Yeah, I tried with a couple different knives. It wasn't really sharp enough.
So you have tried 4 different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I've tried to drown myself before too, but that didn't really work either. Tried to drown myself in the bathtub before.
So on the fourth attempt, what happens? You go to sleep, you wake up, obviously you're still alive, and you think, I'm going to contact the bald guy in North Carolina, say what I got to say?
No, I'd already reached out to you. You'd sent me the itinerary. I almost didn't make it.
Oh, wow. So you could have died while we were going back and forth in our communication. I guess, well, I wouldn't have known. I would have never learned.
No, you wouldn't have known. Yeah, we wouldn't be talking today.
Do you think you would have gone to hell? I think you probably would have been in, what, the terrestrial?
Yeah, probably. I used to always say I'd go to hell, and I'd ask Chester Bennington to sing me a song.
When he was alive or when he was dead?
When he was dead.
Oh, you want to meet him there?
Yeah.
So the morning of January 30th, you wake up.
You know, pain on my arm. Luckily, the cuts were like noticeable, but they weren't real noticeable. And yeah, I went to work. Nobody said anything. I think I was wearing a long sleeve shirt, though. But, you know, when I was home, I wear short sleeve shirts. Nobody said anything. I've always been kind of too much of a bitch to cut, but if I were to cut, I don't think anybody would probably notice.
Any motivational speeches from coworkers this time?
I haven't told anybody about that. You're the first one to know.
Weirdly, take some pride. I kind of like being the first to know. That's weird, no?
Yeah, no, I don't think I told anybody about that attempt. Not my therapist, not anybody. I told a couple of my coworkers about the podcast, but as soon as I told them what the podcast was about, they totally zoned out.
Yeah, that's probably what like 90-something percent of people do.
Oh, yeah. It sucks because it's like one of my favorite things to talk about. I feel like that's my favorite thing to talk about is either suicide or music. Nobody wants to talk to me about either of them, really.
Even music?
No, because they don't like... I listen to a variety of music. Like, I grew up on classic rock music, so I'm very familiar with that. And pretty much, honestly, anything rock and metal. I listen to some, like, electronic dance, like... trance music. I like synth wave. I like synth pop.
No idea what you're talking about, but I'm sure it's great.
Lots of subgenres. There's like hundreds of subgenres in the metal. Specific ones that I listen to, like Suicide Silence is deathcore. I listen to metalcore, which is like Killswitch Engage, if you know who they are.
I don't know anybody. I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a playlist on Spotify that's called Kill Me. That nobody obviously follows or anything.
Right. And people don't talk with you about this, which you want to do because they don't know it or they don't like it. A few more questions. Something you said earlier made me think this conversation we're having is sort of a suicide note for you, no?
Yeah. If somebody finds it and somehow connects it to me, then yeah, this will probably be some of my last words. Last and only words recorded in the public.
Wonder if I get shut down for something like that.
I hope not. I hope I'm not the reason you get shut down because it's...
So very few people know about your attempts, right?
Yeah. Couple people in my family, my therapist, couple of my coworkers, my old roommate, my old friend, coworkers that I don't work with anymore. But yeah, not very few people. I'd say less than 10.
So you've got these four attempts and you ideate a lot, it sounds like. And I always think about, I kind of wonder, how do you get up every day and go about your day?
I don't know. I feel like with the depression that I have, I would be one of those people that can't get out of bed. But for some reason, I can just for the feel, I think just because it's always been drilled in me that I have to. Like my mom doesn't like it whenever I take time off of work. Everybody always questions when I take time off work. They're just like, why are you taking time off work? It's like, fucking, why can't I? But they've always just been very, taught me to be like hardworking and fit in with the system and be normal, I guess. So I try not to pretend because I don't like to pretend. I'm actually very open with, you know, people ask me how I'm doing. I just like, eh. Or, you know what, I actually hate that question. How are you doing? I'm just like, you want scripted response 1, 2, or 3?
Ooh, be normal, I guess. Possible memoir title? So I'm assuming, and of course, tell me if I'm wrong, if you could go back to any of those four attempts or near attempts, you wish one of them would have worked.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the only thing I'm not wishing that I... Because I've been to some great concerts, but at the same time, though, yeah, no, I still don't wish I was here. So probably.
Whether you end your life or not, there's always going to be a concert or many more concerts you don't get to go to.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that's keeping me alive. I'm just like, how many concerts do I want to go to before? Like, who do I feel like I have to see before I go? I'm trying to narrow it down.
Who's on the list?
I do want to see the Birthday Massacre another time. I've seen them twice, but I do want to see them probably another time. They're my second favorite band, or tied for first, whatever you, but they're definitely in top three. The concerts that I'm going to this year, I'm going to go to Beartooth this weekend, and I go see Limp Bizkit, Taking Back Sunday, Def Leppard.
Wait, what? Def Leppard?
Yeah, I got me and my parents tickets to go see Def Leppard.
Your parents are seeing Def Leppard?
Oh, yeah. My parents love Def Leppard. I took them to see Kansas and Foreigner and Loverboy last year.
I have been terribly guilty of putting your parents in a box that is the wrong box.
No, my parents are actually really chill, nice people.
Any music you really dislike?
Anything country. I don't like any country music whatsoever.
But there's some country music out in Utah, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves country music in Utah.
Not just Utah. So, do you have anybody you can really talk with?
No, I don't have anybody I can talk to. I've talked to people like in my family, friends that will maybe listen like that one time and they'll say, oh, yeah, if you ever need anything, da, da, da. I'll try to reach out again. And the next time it's like they're kind of like, oh, well, you're still struggling with this. I thought you were doing okay. Because I don't like I kind of stop saying everything. I kind of stop complaining and whining all the time. And so everybody assumes that I'm doing fantastic because I just got sick of screaming and nobody would listen to me. So
you said something earlier, particularly about your roommate, where you would talk about things and then you got to a point where you felt like there wasn't much to say. I think that's really interesting. We don't talk about that kind of thing too much. Like at some point, what do you say, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like you said what you need to say. You're on an understanding. There's not really anything else you can say because you're kind of just trying to reiterate because it just keeps going on. But it doesn't stop. And then, yeah, sometimes, you know, and it always felt like we were on the opposite too. Like he'd be really depressed when I was doing like I wasn't super depressed, or he would be like doing okay and I would be really depressed. I kind of, in the end, felt like everything I told him was a lie because I told him about my past and he went and tried to tell it in a twisted way and make me look like I was something that I wasn't, turned me into a person that like I wasn't like a worse person than I am. He told that girl that, he told it like his mom that, and he told me at one point when I was having a really hard time, we got into an argument and he told me to go kill myself, which was really hard for me to hear because he was like a brother to me and he was the only one that I felt like ever listened to me. And so I was like, well, fucking, he doesn't even want me around anymore. And I think the only thing that kept me alive at that point was just my rage, just pure rage, because I wanted to beat the living shit out of him. And he started freaking out at me. And then the one day he told me that, you know, he was going to kill himself and he was going to take, someone with him, which, you know, obviously was referring to me, and or at least I felt like. And so I was like, okay, this has gotten, you know, out of hand. Eventually I got him evicted, and then I had 2 weeks to leave and I just moved out the next day, and I've been with my parents ever since. But it was definitely the worst time of my life, and that still has given me a lot of trauma and PTSD. I feel like it's been, you know, a couple of years, and I still doesn't, you know, a day doesn't go by where I don't think about it.
Any myths or misconceptions you would like to dispel?
Honestly, all of them, to be honest, like all the ones that people say, like suicide is the cowardly way out. Suicide's the easy way out. That's bullshit. You got to be pretty fucking brave to commit suicide. And it's not easy. I know that from personal experience. The one time I tried to talk to my brother about how I felt, and he told me, you know, that people that commit suicide are like the worst people in existence, and that they deserve, you know, to suffer for eternity for doing that to their family and all that stuff. And so he wasn't very, very good person to talk to about that. And then, yeah, the thing that people tell me all the time is that it gets better. That's the most bullshit thing. It's like, you can't possibly know that. You don't know that. You can't foresee someone's life in the future and promise them that it's going to be better. Like, you don't know. Like, you can't control that. That's not something that you should be thinking about, let alone say to somebody. It's like, maybe personally for them, it's gotten better, and that's great, but you're not them. And so you can't guarantee that it's going to be better. Yeah. And then Suicide is like a permanent solution to a temporary problem. It's like, I don't know, mine's been ongoing for many years now, so it doesn't really feel temporary to me. I see like the same kind of cycle of things going. So I can kind of tell when the high is coming to an end and everything's going to circle around and go to a low. And I just wonder if I'm going to come around on top or if I'm going to finally say, you know, fuck it, let's get this done with. So yeah, it doesn't feel temporary. I don't know, life's a tricky thing. I used to want to grow up and get married and have kids and stuff, but now I don't want to, like, I definitely feel like my depression's passed on generationally somehow. So all my siblings deal with it in one way or another, and I think probably some of them maybe deal with it more than they would say. I know my sisters definitely all deal with it to a degree. I don't know, I wouldn't want to do that to the kids. And then this world's kind of a shithole right now too. I don't know if I really want to bring anybody into this world. I feel like the end is drawing near, and I don't know if I'm going to be here for it or not.
Random question. Are you a Utah Jazz fan?
No, I don't follow sports. I like to
But
play sports, but I don't follow sports.
you know my last question?
The pink and purple pill?
You got it. Now, with you, I have an idea of what you're going to say, but for our audience, perhaps first-time listeners,
Can
I
I
think
add
there's.
one condition to it? No.
Oh, do not fuck with my pink and purple pill. But okay, what's the condition?
Okay, so my condition, like I think you usually say, like you go to sleep, you don't feel any pain, nobody knows it was a suicide. My other condition was that I would get to attend my concerts for this year. And then the answer would be fuck yeah, I would
So
definitely
that means
take
you
it.
don't take it tonight.
Not right now, no. I would save it, yeah, I would definitely take it this year. I didn't ever want to live to be 25, and I was kind of tempted to like take myself on my birthday, which is the 8th of September, but
Oh.
the Def Leppard's on the 10th, so I have to at least wait till the
Okay, so you save the pill, but from what it sounds like, there's always going to be another concert that you're going to go to or planning to go to. Life.
That's why I'm trying to narrow the ones down that I really want to go to. But if there was ever another situation where it got shut down, like COVID or whatever, I would definitely be gone.
Okay, so I think one more concert. That is the memoir title. Come on.
Yeah, the people that say, "Oh, I'm too old to go to a concert," that always pissed me off. I'm like, you're never too old to go to a concert.
Yeah,
Concert,
your
everybody
parents would
can
want to see
enjoy
you.
music regardless of
Yes.
what age you are.
Absolutely. So, what is your day like?
I might go look at some longboards. My coworker invited me to go longboarding, so I might go longboarding.
Longboarding. Nice. I should go longboarding. All right, so I said that I had no more questions, but of course I do want to open it up to you. Anything else you'd like to share? There will be some people that hear this.
A lot of people have misconceptions about metal music, especially in the LDS community. It would be classified like if somebody not knowing anything about metal would hear something that I listen to, they'd be like, oh, that screaming shit or that screamo music. But they're really ignorant because they don't know anything about it. Do you know the band Jimmy Eat World? Have you heard of them?
No.
They sing that song at the middle. I'm sure if you looked it up, you would know it because it played
Okay.
on, unless you don't listen to the radio, but it
I
was
don't listen
all
to
over the
the
radio.
radio.
Anyway, but they're considered an emo band, and a lot of people would consider them like a rock band or a pop band, but they're actually an emo band. And then other bands like Suicide Silence and whatever that they would consider an emo band, it's not really an emo band. It's like a deathcore band, you know? The most real music, the most music that has the most true, meaningful music, and a lot of these people, they deal with mental health, so they know what it's like. So they talk about it, and their music is just really true. And if you listen to it, not all my music screams all the time. The guitar is fucking awesome. So if you like guitar and drums, well, fuck yeah. After a while, you can kind of understand what they say, and then screaming, it takes talent. It takes a lot of talent. You have to practice it for a long time, and you have to make sure you don't fuck up your vocal cords in the process. And the people that can scream for like 30 plus years, like Corey Taylor from Slipknot, people like that, I deeply admire them, you know. And like, there's a video on YouTube that's Jared Dines. He goes around and asks everybody if they can give him their best metal scream. He goes to just like people at metal concerts, and they try to, and a lot of them are like, you know, some of them will give a crack out of it, and some of them will just be like, no. And then some of them will, you know, try, and he'll be like, was that easy, you know? And they'll be like, no. And then the people that can do it, he'll be like, how long have you been practicing for? And they'll be like, 11 years, 9 years, 20 years. And it's like an instrument. Your voice is an instrument. So it's like learning an instrument and maintaining an instrument. I love it. I'm very passionate about it. I'll try to send you that playlist to have a listen to it.
Send it for sure. I can't promise that I'm going to love it, but I'll listen.
What's the heaviest band that you listen to? Do you listen to any rock or heavy music?
A little before my time, but I really liked Pink Floyd. That's about as hard as it gets.
Oh, I love Pink Floyd.
Had a buddy of mine who was really into Zeppelin. I kind of like Zeppelin. There was a local band up in New York that I liked called Zebra. Really liked Rush.
Okay. You didn't listen to any of the grunge era like Alice in Chains or Nirvana? The Scorpions, you know who they are?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's classic rock. That's what I grew up listening to, though. It's like, I really like the Scorpions, Styx, Kansas, Foreigner.
It's not really hard, though. That's kind of soft.
Yeah, I listen to some soft stuff, too. I listen to some, like, shoegaze stuff. There's a band called Cigarettes After Sex that's a pretty popular alt band now that I listen to. That, you wouldn't think a metalhead would listen to that. But yeah, no, they do. They listen to, I listen to some hip hop, some pop, but metal music is where it's at for me. When someone's screaming your head off, like you wouldn't think it would be, but it's kind of relaxing to me. It like makes it so like I'm always like screaming internally. So it helps me to like, someone else can scream for me when I can't scream for myself. But they got some deep lyrics, man.
What's the LDS church say about that kind of music?
The LDS church, as much as I don't follow them, like I don't go to church, I don't really, but I do have respect for them. They're not as bad as everybody says they are. They are really, really good people. And a lot of people move here from out of state, and Utah Mormons are definitely different from a lot of Mormons too. But a lot of people like the Utah Mormons, they say that they're some of the nicest people that they've ever met. And they are, they can be very kind. They can also be judgmental. But I feel like a lot of people are, though. I don't know. I definitely have a respect for the religion, even though I don't really follow religion anymore. But honestly, if you follow the teachings that they did, you wouldn't be a bad person. You'd be a good person. And a lot of the most popular saying is like the church is true and the people aren't. So like what the church stands for is a good thing. But some of the people, they're not perfect, so they aren't a great representation of the church, including myself. I'm not a very great representation of the, but I'm not going to say that that's like the end all be all, that that's, the one true church. It's between you and God. If you believe in God, it's between you and God. I don't feel like God's very much of a fan of me, but I still talk to him sometimes, maybe you'd consider me crazy for that, but yeah. Open-mindedness is a hard thing for a lot of people, including myself. It's a hard thing. But I feel like if we could all be a little bit more open-minded, we'd get along a lot better. But the way that the shit's going down, I'm just waiting for, I don't know, especially in America right now, I'm waiting for it to kind of all crash and burn.
Think it's going to happen?
I feel like it is. That's kind of the thing. Like, I don't know. It's like still part of me would like to, maybe get married, settle down, have a family and all that. But I feel like if I did, like there would be like a tragic accident, like a car crash or something, and I would lose my family or I would just fuck everything up or fucking a civil war or something would break down and it would just be more of a hell living than it is. So I don't know. I don't have very great hopes for the future, but anything could happen, I guess. And I'm not one to fake it till I make it. I'm just gonna, be myself, and whoever can put up with me can put up with me, and whoever can't, well, fuck. A lot of times I like to be by myself, but I do get lonely, I don't want to live the rest of my life alone. I don't want to fucking work a job for 40 years either, working hard labor. I've got scoliosis, so my back, my spine's twisted, and my left leg's shorter than my right leg, and so causes a lot of pain. That's the main reason I don't really run anymore, is because it's just really pain. It feels like somebody's like literally stabbing a knife through my back while I'm trying to run once I get about a mile in. I do want to do a marathon, but I don't know if I can. I've been kind of lifting weights, see if I could get bigger, but that hasn't really gone so great. It's kind of got more tone, not really put on any size. Yeah, I've kind of always felt like the black sheep. I haven't been able to really measure up as much to other people, but I've still try to give myself some credit. Not everybody runs six marathons.
Actually, almost nobody runs 6 marathons.
All right, man. So listen, I truly hope that you enjoy your longboarding if you get to go. Josiah in a Honda somewhere in Utah.
Thanks again.
Appreciate yeah, thank you, man.
Have a not shitty day.
You too, bro. See ya.
As always, thanks so much for listening and all of your support. And special thanks to Josiah in Utah. Thanks, Josiah. If you are a suicide attempt survivor and you'd like to talk, please reach out. Hello@suicidenoted.com on Facebook or Twitter/X @suicidenoted. And of course, check the show notes to learn more about the podcast, including our membership. We would love and we need that kind of support. We've got some things planned, but we need a little help in doing it. And you could rate and review this podcast. It helps people find it. And of course, we want more people to find it. However you are involved, thanks. And that is all for episode number 209. Stay strong. Do the best you can. I'll talk to you soon.